I have looked forward to this particular session for a number of reasons. One, because this particular session completes something. You who have been with me during this time know that we have been looking at the nature of Jesus. We also looked at the nature of the Father. And then in our session last week, we actually began looking at the nature of the Holy Spirit. In fact, I saw someone just an hour or so before our session tonight who apologized to me that he could not be here because he had to officiate at one of the football games here around. And he said, now after our last session, when we spoke on joy, he said, every time someone scores a touchdown, I want to yell, joy! And every time they signal a safe reception, I want to yell, saved! So we began looking at the nature of the Holy Spirit. Now, the thesis is that God put everything He was in Jesus. In Him was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That all God was, He put in Jesus. He wrapped skin around His very nature, so that for the first time in all of history, God could truly be touched. Well, since that's true of Jesus, then it had to be true of the Father that the nature of Jesus was the same, because He said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now, an interesting thing has happened to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's very difficult to talk about Him. I have been in places where when you just mention the Holy Spirit, people's palms get sweaty, you know, and they wonder, what are you about to do? Are we going to see a holy roller? Have you ever heard that term? I grew up around that term. It's a fascinating thing. And so it's interesting that the Holy Spirit seems to have gotten such a bum rap, I would say. Well, one of the reasons for that, I believe, is because many have taken the Holy Spirit and examined Him from the far end of the Bible, you might say, coming back toward Jesus, and observed merely some of the events or acts of the Holy Spirit, and off of that have made some erroneous conclusions about what the Holy Spirit would do. Likewise, there are some who made mistakes coming at the nature of the Father without seeing the nature of Jesus and made some mistakes about Him. But if you start with Jesus, who is the full revelation of the Father. In the past, God spoke to us, you know, and through the prophets at various times in many ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, who is just like Him. Just like Him. Express image. Saul. It becomes rather important that we find out what Jesus has to say. If you look at His nature, and then you say, ah, the Father is like this, and you go back interpreting through His nature, you see Him so clearly. If you listen to the words of Jesus and look at His nature, then go forward and say, the Holy Spirit must be like this. Then you make some incredible discoveries and you see some ways of God, the ways of God, that permit you then to interpret the acts so that you never get strange. Well, that's not the right word. Weird. You can get strange without being weird. So I purposed that I would find out what Jesus had to say about the Holy Spirit, and let that decide for me how I was going to interpret everything else that went on relative to the Holy Spirit. Those who come only through the back door would tend to, I would think, embarrass the Holy Spirit. I've often thought, if I were the Holy Spirit, I'd probably be deeply embarrassed by some people. And I thought also, if I were the Holy Spirit, I'd be deeply grieved by some others who fight me like crazy, who will use every attempt they can to explain my current actions away. Some embarrass me, some grieve me. It must be tough to be the Holy Spirit. In fact, tough enough that Jesus said, blasphemy against him would not be forgiven. That's kind of awesome. That's awesome. Well, let's go first to John 14, and then we'll look at John 15, and then we'll look at John 16. So I'm going to read a good bit of scripture to you. John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17 and 18. And then 25, 26, and 27, if you want to write it. Jesus says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you shall know him." You know him, "for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Then John 14, 25, 26, and 27. "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Now we jump to John 15, beginning with verse 26. "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." Now let us go to John chapter 16, beginning with verse 7 and reading through verse 15. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." That's rather self-evident, isn't it, when you're listening to Jesus? I like that. "It is expedient for you." It's a good thing for you that I go away. Now, we would probably argue with that, wouldn't we? "For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you." Well, out of this, and you know that I sometimes like lists, out of this, I found the same number of basic things that I did in the nature of Jesus. 14 things that Jesus said the Holy Spirit would be or do. Now, you can expand this list in a lot of different ways by sub-expanding it or by finding things, as we will readily do, probably not so much tonight, in the epistle.